The Immaculate Conception incorporates Francisco de Zurbarán's 17th century painting of the Immaculate Conception as a center point for discussion. This exhibition considers the various ways the Immaculate Conception has been portrayed in Mexican retablos and the influence that European paintings, such as Zurbarán's, had on Mexican painters of the subject. The 27 19th century retablos on exhibit at the El Paso Museum of Art all reflect, in terms of color and iconography, the specific devotional concerns mandated by the Catholic Church with a rich diversity of interpretation. The Immaculate Conception retablo exhibit is on display at the El Paso Museum of Art now through November 8th. And today my guest is Christian Gertzheimer of the El Paso Museum of Art. Welcome, Christian.
Hello, Marina.
So we were talking about the retablo collection that the Museum of Art has. And you told me an interesting fact, and that is that we probably have the second largest collection.
Right. I think it is, at least within this, the United States, second largest.
And you said the largest is probably just up the
nearby
road.
Nearby at NMSU in Las Cruces.
Now, do you think it's because of where we are geographically?
I think that's one of the big reasons, because a lot of the retablos that were being sold passed through El Paso, and the collectors that donated to El Paso Museum of Art and NMSU were in El Paso, and it was just coincidence that some were given to NMSU and some were given to El Paso.
We were talking, because this collection is so large, you all are able to kind of fine line and pick themes in order to be able to display our retablo collection. So what is it about the Virgin Mary and the Immaculate Conception you think that's so striking?
Well, the Virgin Mary is one of the most popular subjects in Mexico for retablos. And looking through the collection, we've had different exhibitions on various themes, and we're looking through to see what would be another interesting exhibition. And we noticed that we had a number of Immaculate Conception retablos and retablos that were named the Annunciation, but then the images were the same on both of those retablos. So we decided, what does this show about the artists who are painting these works, and would that in fact be an interesting subject for another exhibition? So we titled the exhibition The Immaculate Conception, because that's predominantly what all these retablos are. But there are a few retablos included in this exhibition that were titled The Annunciation, but they are nearly identical with the Immaculate Conception retablos.
So let's talk about that difference. I mean, in the drawing. So the Annunciation looks different than the Immaculate Conception. In what ways?
Well, if you look back in the history of art, the Annunciation usually depicts the angel Gabriel coming to speak to the Virgin Mary, announcing that she's going to have a child. So there's usually two figures in that those paintings. One is an angel, one is the Virgin Mary. And then the Immaculate Conception is usually just a painting of the Virgin Mary, either floating in heaven, or as many of those in the museum's collection, from the waist up, a portrait of her with her hands pressed to her chest, to her heart, and then a dove flying from her, beyond her. And so that's the way the Immaculate Conception is usually depicted, and the Annunciation, they're usually depicted differently, but in this case, we have retablos with both titles that look exactly the same.
And there's some with a crescent moon?
The Immaculate Conception, the full figure retablos show the Virgin Mary with the crescent moon underneath, and that has a halo of 12 stars and specific colors and iconography. So that goes back to the painting of Francisco Zurbarán of the Immaculate Conception that is in the museum's collection and is on display in the next gallery from where this retablo's exhibition is shown.
Tell us about what a retablo is, or a lámina.
The museum has quite a collection of retablos, and they can be painted on wood, tin, copper, and that's usually what they are. Retablo means behind the altar, and that's where these paintings were normally shown, but often in the centuries since about the 16th century, when they began to be painted in Mexico, they were often used for personal devotion at home, and so they were no longer used behind the altar. But a retablo could be a painting that someone treasured or carried with them too, because sometimes they were carried around for personal devotion wherever. But often individuals would set up their own private altar in their home.
Now, Seville seems to be the basis or the area from Spain that had the most influence on Mexican painters of retablos. Why is that?
The subject of the Immaculate Conception was very dear in Seville because that's where Zurbarán painted. And many of the paintings that inspired the artists of Mexico to paint the retablos, often they were either brought to Mexico as prints, or if there were a painting brought to Mexico, it might have been one of those from Spain. And Seville was a very productive city for artists.
So that could have been the prototype. That could have been where they originally saw what it looks like.
That's where it could have been, yeah. It'll take a lot of research to define that. But Veracruz was one of the centers for painting retablos, and there was much import between Veracruz and Spain because Veracruz is on the coast of Mexico.
When it comes to retablos, are they signed? I mean, are you able to tell who the artist is, or how do you figure out more or less what area it came from?
Well, the entire exhibition that's on view now, the Immaculate Conception, all those retablos are anonymous. So we don't know. They're not signed. And the majority of artists who painted retablos were anonymous. Only a few actually signed their works because they weren't seeking recognition. They were paying homage to God and to
whatever saint they painted.
Yeah, whatever saint they painted. And often these were commissioned too. So they didn't feel it was about boasting of their identity, a cult of the identity or anything like that. But there are a few retablos in the museum's collection that are, in fact, signed, but they're by more academic and trained artists. So to compare the more anonymous retablos with the retablos by the skilled academic trained artists, it's not as a great comparison to make because there's much different in what they're painting just because the anonymous artists often would include things from their vernacular culture that might not be part of the iconography of the subject. So that's why they're not compared that often.
And the intentions are completely different. I mean, at this point, you have a scholar that studied it and sees it as a form or as another method.
Yeah.
And then you have somebody that was worshiping.
Exactly.
So with this extensive collection, how do you all take care of it? Because how many retablos do you estimate the museum owns?
It's around 1,400 or 1,500.
Wow.
So the collection's growing, and the museum was recently given a big collection of almost 500 retablos from a local collector.
So. And with that new collection, did you notice themes or was it a...
Oh, yes, definitely, because this person has published a retablos newsletter for about 20 years and is one of the experts in the world of retablos. So we're really lucky to have received such a gift.
Now, you were talking about possibly releasing a book of these 400. I mean, considering you have the...
Yeah, I don't know if the book would reproduce every retablo, an image of it, but it will definitely focus on some of the highlights from all the different subjects because this collector has identified how many of every subject are in the collection that was given to the museum.
Aside from this theme, are you all considering other ideas or other exhibitions around the retablos so we can, you know, bring them out? It's hard,
yeah,
hard to see all of them at the same time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what we had thought of for upcoming exhibition subjects for the retablos collection. And like you said, what is it about retablos that aren't signed or are signed. And we were thinking we have a collection that includes some that are signed, and they're quite a contrast from some of those that are by untrained artists. So.
There's a lot of modern artists take on the tablas too. I have two.
Oh, yeah.
From David Nakabayashi. Very contemporary.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice. Here. And I think it's a retablo just in the sense that it's on tin.
But is it a religious subject or is
it? You know, he did the one that I can remember is Matthew Shepard. Remember that story?
Okay.
So
yeah.
He kind of made him into an icon, and it has the story and the written. So it's in that form.
Right.
But
in addition to all the saints and angels and the images of Christ, there are also another category of retablos called ex votos, and those are usually done to give thanks for a prayer that has been answered or a miracle that has happened. Like if you were robbed by someone but you survived, that you would have a retablo painted about that, and that would be called ex voto.
Do we have a lot of ex votos in
those our collection? Those are more rare because they usually include some writing about the actual occurrence. And so I like them a lot because they're about real-life occurrences that happened. And they usually have the saint or the Virgen de Guadalupe image in the background as if she was there helping them through this occurrence.
It all comes together. Well, today my guest has been Christian Gertzheimer from the El Paso Museum of Art, and we've been talking about the Immaculate Conception Retablo exhibit that is on view now at the El Paso Museum of Art through November 8th. Thank you so much, Christian.
Thank you.